Father, we worship you. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the praise, all the adoration. No one compares to you. Father, you are the God who knows all things, sees all things, understands all things, everywhere present, all knowing, all powerful. There is no God like you. Your name is above every other name. Every being, everything that has a name must pay homage to you. And we thank you, Father, that you're the God who lives in us, in the fullness of your person. Therefore, all things are subject to the authority of your word and your name, your person in us. Therefore, this day we call into subjection everything that is contrary, all that is within and without. Let all things bow to you, worshiping you, adoring you, confessing your lordship. Therefore, Lord, O God, we thank you that lack, sickness and disease, confusion, or any such thing has no place in our lives. We receive the wisdom of your spirit, the knowledge and understanding that you grace us with. Open our ears to hear you clearly. Let our hearts receive your word. May we walk, O God, in the integrity of your word, therefore not stumbling at any time, because your light is in us. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we decree it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you all here this evening. I know the Lord is with us. He's our helper, and he's our peace. We're studying through the book of Proverbs, and I am truly convinced in my spirit that by the time we are done with this book, we will be totally different people. Not because we have read it, or just studied it, but because grace is granted us to practice, to live it out. There is a lot of hearing, but there's also a lot of not doing. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I will liken a wise man to the one who came, heard my words and did it. He says, a foolish man came and heard his words but did not do it. The difference between a wise man and a foolish man is their obedience. Let me state that again. The difference between a wise man and a foolish man is their obedience. I'll say it the third time. The difference between a wise man and a foolish man is their obedience. The obedience to the instruction of God. Bear in mind that it is disobedience that brought sin into the world. Disobedience. The one thing that we all, everyone, bar none, must do is to obey the instruction. That's it. The Bible says that the one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ learned was obedience. God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Any sacrifice you give, obedience. Obedience is the act of wisdom. Doing what you know to do. a lot of people seek counsel. And after you've given them the counsel of God, go and do something totally different from what the counsel is. And then when they're in trouble, they want you to pray. Prayer doesn't work in those situations. Not until you come to obedience. If you seek counsel and you receive godly counsel, follow up with it. God's word doesn't say that obeying is easy. It's always a challenge because it's a battle against yourself. Obedience is a battle against yourself, your selfish, self-centered, carnal lifestyle. Obedience. So what does the Word of God tell us in Proverbs? It says, bind the Word to your neck. Let it be a chain of limitation. Let it be that thing that adorns you, crowns your life. This is what God calls us to. And the first place that God deals with us concerning has to do with our relationships. If you're going to live a victorious life, you must address the relationships that you have. Nobody makes it with the wrong kinds of relationships. So the Word of God says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Don't get connected with unbelief. Because unbelief will bring you to the place where whatever it is that was really possible for you becomes an impossibility. Now, we got up to verse 17. Having addressed this situation of relationships and the antidote to bad relationships being listening to the instruction that has been given, God's word now says to us, it says, listen, if you follow the instruction, the guidance and the directives of God, it says it becomes a waste of time for the enemy, because whatever it is that he's plotting to do will not catch you. One of the prayers we prayed last Friday was living in a temptation-free zone, an evil-free zone. That is part of God's will for us. Not because temptations are not going to be there, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter because your desire is not in that direction. So you're not craving that. If you came to me today and you put a bottle of whiskey in front of me, let it be 20 billion of them. It doesn't matter. It's not a temptation. Once upon a time, it was a temptation. You put Benson and Hedges or whatever kind of smokes they have today, put it in front of me and say, here this. No, it's not a temptation. Why isn't it not a temptation? Because that's no longer my desire. My desire is the word of God. My desire is what God has to say. You can tempt me with going to church because my addiction is in that direction. My addiction is in God. So not going, that becomes a problem. You understand what I'm talking about? So, living in a temptation-free zone is because you have so much of God and you're fully satisfied with God that you're not hungering and thirsting after anything else. Your hunger and your thirst is after God. So therefore, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Because he sees it. I see you, you're putting a trap there for me. So I'm going to go around it. But a bird that is really, really hungry will lose its mind and think, I can figure it out and not be trapped. Even mice are smart enough not to get trapped. Yeah. Those visitors, if they come visiting you and you put all the traps all over the place, they have a funny way of going past it if they can sense what you are doing. It is the foolish mouse that thinks it can beat the bait that gets snared. Let me just bite a little bit. Now, if that's the game that you play, you get snared. But if you know that there is an enemy who wants to entrap you, and you know what your issues are, you walk away from whatever it is that wants to trap you. Let me explore that thought just for a few minutes. If you know that booze is your problem, don't go to the lounge where they serve booze, because the smell of it might pull you to it. If you know that lust is your problem, don't go and have dinner at Hooters. Anybody listening? Because the snare is there. You know this is your problem. Go to Burger King, please. Go to Burger King. Go to McDonald's. Don't go to the bar. Don't go and start looking at the funny magazines, because you know you've got a problem. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, if your hand causes you to sin, what should you do? Cut it off. Whatever that thing is, you know that's a snare. It might not be a snare to your friend, but it's a snare to you. Cut it off. The friends that, if you've got a problem with drugs, don't hang around the friends that do drugs. Hello? Does that make sense? That's what the word of God is saying. He says, delay wait for their own blood. Did you see that? He says it's for their own blood that they are laying wait. It's not for you. They are trying to set a trap. It's them that's going to fall into it. Why? Because you've allowed the word of God to take a hold of your life. They lock privily for their own lives. Not your life, their own lives. They are plotting and everything for their own destruction because you're not going to be there. The pit that they dug, they're going to fall into themselves. Why? You've listened to instruction. You're obeying the word of God. You're following through with the word of God. You're pursuing after the things of God. God is more important to you, and your relationship with God is more important to you than the relationships of temporary stuff. Temporary. Come to think of it. Whatever it is that is a temptation to us is so temporary, it's silly. People will kill to get a car. Clothes, whatever. You know, things do not satisfy. Now, you can go by my car and you look at the car and you say, wow, this is a nice car. Oh, this amazing car. Do you know how I feel about that same car? The like that you like it, I liked it maybe for a few hours. After a few hours, it's a car. I could care less about it. It's ugly now. I want something nicer now. But I know if I get something nicer, it's going to only last for a short period. Do you understand? Whatever it is that we are running after only lasts for a short period. Now, so why are you selling your soul for something that won't last? Oh, if only I can get close to this girl, get close to this guy, oh, my life will be all together. Yeah. After you've sucked face for a few minutes, you'll find out it's the same ugly face. That there's nothing there. It's empty. That it doesn't satisfy anymore. I don't care who it is. You're going to find a reason why that is not the best looking person, because your eyes are going to be going all over the place because you have a problem with lust. That's it. So the word of God says, whatever traps that they're setting, it is for themselves, not you. Why? You're connected to God. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. Greedy of gain. The love of money is the root of all evil. Greedy for gain. So they start plotting. I'm plotting. How can I snare somebody else? How can I get this person? How can I? And it doesn't matter whether it's your business, whether it's your church, whether it's whatever it is. You're going to connive and manipulate and whatever else just to get ahead. He says, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. You think I'm trying to take away this person's progress. No, you're taking away your own progress. It's not about them, it's you. You're the one who's losing. You're the one losing. So what does this mean to me? It means that I should live my life recognizing that trying to sabotage somebody else is sabotaging myself. If I'm doing good for somebody else, I'm doing good for myself. So the one thing I must pursue is how I can be a blessing. Because if I try to be a curse, I'll get a curse. The word of God says in 1st or 2nd Peter, it says, bless and curse not, because that's how you're going to inherit the blessing. Bless and curse not. Oh, you don't know who you're messing with. I'm going to swear and curse at you and blah, blah, blah. Go ahead. Whatever it is that you said is coming back to you. Because God has already created you in his image and likeness, and God says that nothing that he says will go out there and not accomplish what it's sent for. It cannot return back void. Every word that you speak comes back to you. Everything that you do comes back to you. So if you want good to come back, sow good. Praise the Lord. I trust that we're hearing. Maybe you might say, Pastor, this does not apply to me. I know it doesn't apply to you, but it's still the word of God. And like we say, prevention is better than what? Cure. Oh, I don't have any problem with this. That's good. Praise God. Just listen anyway. And obey the instruction. Wisdom crieth without. It's crying out loud. She uttered her voice in the streets. Wisdom is crying out. Obey the instruction. Wisdom is crying out, do not do evil. Do good. When evil's trying to come, do good instead. Pay good for evil. She cried in the chief place of concourse or gathering, in the openings of the gates. In the openings of the gates. Now, what is this? Openings of the gates. The openings of gates are entrance points, but in the day of Solomon, this was a place of government. But secondly, gates represent the point of entrance and exit. And when you talk about gates, the openings of gates, God's word is saying, listen, wisdom crieth in the chief place of concourse, the place of gathering, and the openings of gates. Wisdom will open gates. Wisdom will open opportunities for you. Wisdom will bring you into a place of leadership and honor. Wisdom, just obeying the instruction of God. It doesn't matter what your background is, who your father is or your mother is, what school you went to or didn't go to. It doesn't matter. When you obey the word of God, wisdom will open doors for you. I know of somebody working faithfully, following instruction. They got to a particular place in their life, and they recognize that they're doing so much. Different areas. And their level of where they've been paid for was way beneath where they were supposed to be. And they said, I think this, what I'm doing, qualifies to be at this level. They looked at it and said, Yeah, I think so. Why don't you write up something to qualify the kind of job that you're doing? And the person, by the wisdom, writes it out, and everybody agrees. And now that person is way ahead of everybody that was with them, in a totally different class. Because wisdom opened the gates. Wisdom will open doors of opportunities. He says, in the city she uttered her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long do you want to stay where you are? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. How long? Why do you want to keep on staying in this state? Wisdom is crying, and wisdom wants to elevate you. Wisdom wants to change your status. Wisdom wants to bring you new opportunities. So how long are you going to stay there talking about, oh, the problem is my race, my color, nobody likes me, nobody this. No, it's, how long? Why don't you tap into wisdom and see what wisdom is going to do? Wisdom is going to crack it wide open for you. Wisdom. Many years ago, I used to go up north quite a bit, fly with a small little planes and go into different communities up north. And I remember I was speaking in one community, and they said to me, if you were a white man, you won't have left this reserve. If you were one of us, you won't leave this reserve for sure. But you, we don't know what to do with you. Because everything you said to us is wisdom, is true, but we don't want to hear it. What was I saying? I had come into this community, and they had boxes of 2-liter homogeneous milk, and it was being sold for about $12, something like that. They had butter, it was being sold for $12, $15. Macaroni and cheese, lots of money. Everything was just way out there. So I said to them, who owns this grocery outfit here? That's the people from, white folks. I said, really? Where do they get this stuff from? They bring it from Winnipeg. I said, you guys go to Winnipeg? Yeah? How come you don't go to that same Winnipeg that they're bringing this stuff from, buy it at the wholesale price, whatever that price is, and bring it to your own community and sell that same thing and make a little bit of a profit, but you are not spending all of your money? Because, give us this money, give us this, give us that. We need more stipends and whatever else. I said, the same guy who's giving you the money is collecting the money back. And he's not adding anything to you. Why you keep on asking for more money, for more money? This is the problem that you and my forefathers in Africa had. We sold our children to slavery. You guys, for mirror and whatever else, why don't you get on that seat of leadership and make right decisions and reclaim your stuff? Own your own businesses. Those guys over there, they don't have two heads. Own your own business. Do your own business. Make your own money. Have control over your own destiny. Stop this foolishness, because it doesn't matter if the government gives you $20,000 today, your children and your children's children are going to be saying, you sold us out because you did not give us any sense of purpose, any sense of direction. No one should be on skid row if they have a sense of purpose. They have a sense of direction. I am here to live a life of purpose. I have a destiny, and it's not messing up with drugs. Where did that money come from? Who's giving you those drugs? Same person that's giving you money, pushing stuff around you. So how long are you going to be simple? So they didn't like that too much. But the Lord gave me a word. Because of this word, people, indigenous people, are going to start owning their own businesses. The Lord says, right across this nation. I said, but I didn't go across the nation. So no, you release the word here, and that word is going to penetrate in the realm of the spirit. He says, watch and see. So I said, watch it. And lo and behold, businesses start starting in different corners. Well, it first started with casinos. But it's okay, they started. And the same thing is true for every one of us. God has given us purpose. We have a destiny. And God's word is saying, how long do you want to be simple? How long are you going to play the fool? How long are you going to just, whatever will be? How long are you going to do that? How long are scorners going to delight in their scorning? And fools hate knowledge. You hate knowledge? You stay where you are. God doesn't want any one of us to keep on staying at the same place. You and I must not peak. There's always room for growth. Never peak, because if you peak, you will experience hell. Let me say that again. If you peak, you will experience hell. When a believer moves from this realm, he goes up higher. Because there's no peaking. When somebody who does not know God peaks, they drop. And they go to the lower parts of hell. And you can experience hell now. The hell of addiction. The hell of broken relationships, the hell of confusion, the hell of illiteracy, the hell of whatever mess, because we hate knowledge. Everybody must understand there's much to learn, not only from books, but from experience. We do not only learn from good happenings, we learn from bad happenings. And the idea is not to learn from your own bad experiences, but watch around and be discerning. And when you see somebody messing up and the pain that they're going through because they mess up, learn how not to go in that direction. So how do I do that? Simple. If you're driving down the highway and all of a sudden you see a car drop, and another one comes and it drops, and another one comes and drops, and you still come in at 100 clicks, they are not the fools. You are. Slow down, stop, and go and check out whether there is a road or a pit. Slow down. The chances are there's a big hole there. Oh, but there wasn't one yesterday. Yesterday was yesterday. Today's today. Maybe something happened and the ground opened up and there is now a big hole there that is swallowing trucks and everything. Don't be part of the hazard, the story. Learn. You know why people are still addicted to stuff? The person who's going down the street sees somebody that's addicted to some kind of drugs. Person is drooling all over. They're on the street. And the person knows the reason why this guy is here is because he's been doing drugs and he has been sniffing stuff. He knows. Why is it a few years later you are in the same situation? You're in the same situation because you did not learn. You hated knowledge. And you thought that you were smarter than everybody else and everything else. That's why. Well, if you only knew what the problem was that got them to that particular position, you won't say too much about that, granted. But that's not really the issue, is it? The issue is that they try to solve their problem the wrong way. And solving the problem the wrong way got them into this mess. So if that's the wrong way to solve the problem, how come you're going through the same path? Why? When the Word of God says even a bird, when it sees a snare being set, does not get trapped by it. You mean that you are so small in your brain that it's smaller than a bird? That's why you're in this mess? Oh. I can eat my cake and have it. Really? And the message is simple. You can eat your cake and have it. Stop messing around. Because if you violate these rules, these life principles, you will end up with the same old result. Deep pain. Unnecessary pain. You don't need this pain. So why are you embracing it? Verse 24. Because I have called. Actually, 23 first. It says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Wow. And I will make known my words unto you. Turn you at my reproof. What is the point? The point is, hey, I see you, you're messing up. And I'm speaking a word of rebuke right now. Stop it. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you, and I'll make known my words unto you. Those words that you have forgotten, that you've not heard, I'm going to quicken it inside of your spirit. I'm going to give you another opportunity. You can come out of this mess. Don't go there and continue there. There is a detour out of this messy path that you're going through right now. I can give you a turnaround. I'll make known my words to you. It says, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Wow. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. I counseled you and you just pushed it aside. Don't want that. That's old-fashioned. This is the 21st century. That's archaic. The reality is, nothing's really changed. From the time of Adam till now, nothing's really changed. It's the same problems. The issue is that we never learn. We don't learn. The Word of God tells us is the scriptures are given to you for an example. You have set at naught all my counsel. And will none of my reproof. God says, he says, those that he loves, he chastises, he rebukes them. When God rebukes me, when God rebukes you, it's because he loves us. He knows that, yes, we will make wrong decisions, we'll act wrongly, but he's always there to help us. And that's what we must embrace. God help me. He says, I also will laugh at your calamity. God says, when you start feeling the pain, I'm going to be laughing. Wow. He says, I will mock when your fear cometh. Because he didn't listen. God says, look at him. Look at him running all over the floor. Look at him talking to himself. You didn't listen. Hey, Peter, you remember I told you to write that word in the scripture? You remember? Yeah. You didn't listen. When you start living in fear and afraid of your own shadow, God says, I'm going to be laughing. Because he didn't listen. Now, let's understand that this word has been spoken to all of us as people. Doesn't matter whether I'm a pastor. Or a church member. It's the same principle. You cannot cheat life. You cannot cheat your way through life. It says, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, wow, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Lord, what are you talking about? You're not going to answer? But Lord, I'm calling now. I want to change now. Oh, God, please. God says, I'm not going to answer. What? I thought, God, you're God of love. I'm not going to answer. Is it that he's not going to answer at all? No. Is that he will let you get to the lowest of the lowest. He says, they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So I kept on talking to you, but you didn't listen. Now you're in trouble. He says, I'm going to let you smell your own mess. He says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, because they hated knowledge. You want me to do what? You want me to save you so you can do the same thing again and again? No, I'm going to let you smell your mess. And that's why some people cannot break free for the longest time. The Bible tells us about Esau, who did not give reverence and respect to his position and sold his birthright for porridge, just for his tummy. He said, when he cried, I listened to him. They would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. I kept on talking and trying everything, but you didn't listen. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The turning away of the simple, the turning away from the truth, the love of God, he says it will slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The prosperity of fools. See, that's a problem. They seem to be prospering. They seem to be getting ahead. He says, the end of it is going to be total disaster. There is a way, Proverbs is going to tell us, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. The mistake that many people make is, hey, things are going well for me. I'm doing okay. I'm making money. I robbed people and I have all kinds of cash. I'm pushing drugs and I'm making money. My bank account is full. I can go anywhere I want to go and do whatever it is I want to do. I can get all the guys or all the women and buy all the cars and whatever else, nice coat, nice shoes, whatever. I'm doing good. He says, but the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You can't escape it. It's better to be satisfied with the little that you've got than to pursue and get all kinds of stuff and end up at the end empty. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I trust and I pray that because we're listening to God, that we'll experience the safety that God brings to us, and that we can enjoy the goodness of God all of our days. We must speak with wisdom to each other. Love each other. Care for each other. Be willing to stand in the face of those that are going the wrong direction and say, you might not like me after this, you might decide not to be my friend, but brother, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I see something is going off here. Realign yourself. Do the right thing. I saw one of my spiritual sons sometime back, very anointed young man. I saw him hanging around somebody. It was not a bad situation. I called him and I said, listen, I know nothing is going on here. But you need to be careful about this, because you may be innocent, but this person that you're hanging around, they have their own issues, and they can entrap you and you get yourself in a mess. So you may not like me after this and say, oh, Pastor, don't you trust me? I trust you. But I don't trust whatever it is that you're trying to hang around now. I trust her, but I don't trust that whatever it is that can happen, you can survive it if you don't control yourself, because you're not the first person. There have been a lot of people who thought, I can handle it. When God's word says, flee fornication, run for your life. Run. It has nothing to do with, oh, she's not pretty, she's ugly, she's fat. It has nothing to do with that. Oh, he's not really handsome. He has, you know, 20 barrels instead of a six-pack. It has nothing to do with that. You do what you need to do to keep yourself safe. Yeah, I'm chicken. Yeah, I will run in the other direction. Chicken. Yes, thank you very much. I'm chicken. God's word says, and that's how we do it, child of God. Stay safe. Amen? Praise God. Well, we finished chapter 1, didn't we? Oh, wow, praise the Lord. Give yourself a good clap offering. How did we do that? Well, so next time we'll pick up from chapter 2. You can see already that the book of Proverbs is going to be hard-hitting. But we'll be better because of it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the integrity of your word. In the days and times when truth is watered down and people act in strange ways, we ask, oh God, that you will not give up on us. Lord, oh God, that your word will cut through all the noise, all the confusion, that we'll respond, oh God, to the truth of your word, and by so doing, walk in the integrity of the salvation that you've called us into. Walk in the fullness of the righteousness that you've bestowed upon us. Walk in uprightly. Father, we receive the anointing to live life to the full. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of hearing your word and doing it, obeying it. Grant us the grace to be obedient to the instructions of faith. Thank you, Father. It is well with our souls. We have the righteousness of Christ, our Lord. We walk in obedience to your instruction. We pay attention to your reproofs. We hearken to your words. Thank you, Lord, that this is so, because you are our present help in every season of our lives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. One of the graces God gives to us, if we're going to know good success, is to honor Him with our giving. When we sow, the Word of God tells us that God will multiply our seed sown. Something the Lord taught me many years ago, it's got to be no less than 30 years back, He said to me, when you honor me with your tithe and with your offerings, I do not only look at the tithe and offering that you gave, I look at the tithe and offerings that every tither gave in your city, and I account it to you, and I account it to them. I do not only look at all the tithe and offerings that you gave in your city, but in your country and in the world. And all the tithe and offerings, I look at it and I see it as you. Remember, we are one body. So if every tither and everyone that honors God with their offerings gave $1 trillion today, and I personally gave $100, God says I gave $1 trillion. He says, but that is not true for those who did not give their tithe. We'll say, huh? Say, yeah. He says, so when you come asking me for, are you ready for, I don't want to start another one now. He says, when you come asking, don't ask me based on how much tithe you gave. Ask me for results based on what the body is doing. He says, now you can believe me for $1 billion, even though all you've given is $1,000. I say, huh? He said, let me ask you a question. Are you ready for this? He said, if you go to the bank and you go to the bank and you take a loan. Does the bank give you a loan based on how much you put in your bank account or based on what everybody else has given? They qualify you. And so you might end up with $500,000 of a loan. But the amount that you really had in the bank account was $500. It says you are pulling from the pool. You get the point? When I learned that lesson, I said, huh, if I want to be part of the pool, I better be part of the pool that is honoring God with my tithe and my offerings, because I get the greater benefit out of it. So it's the fool that doesn't tithe. That person has not learned that it is more than what you gave. It is what we gave together, and only tithers get to have that benefit. Amen? So guess what I decide to do? Because I don't know what the tithe necessarily might be, I decided to do something better. I said, God, tell me what I need to give today. What is the minimum you want from me? So that way, I don't have to count my pennies. I just honor God and trust Him and see where it goes from there. I pray that we all grow in that same grace, because we'll truly be blessed beyond measure. Amen? Praise God. Thank you for honoring God with your giving. We'll ask Ralawal to come and close in prayer. Do you have the mic? Come and close in prayer.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Dear Lord and King, we thank you for a wonderful time listening to you, hearing from you today. Thank you for the exposition of your word regarding knowledge, regarding wisdom, regarding following your will. Lord, I pray that you will help us to indeed continue in this that you have spoken to us today in Jesus' name. You made mention to us that obedience is what differentiates the wise from the foolish. I pray you grant us the grace to always be obedient to you at all times in Jesus' name. Lord, I lift up your servant into your able hands. Daddy, we ask that you will replenish him from the much that he has been able to share with us. I pray you will restock him more and more in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we commit ourselves into your hands. As we leave this, we are not leaving your presence. May your presence continue with us and minister to us and take us to higher grounds in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.